Well, please do turn with me to the book of Daniel this evening for the last time in this series as we come to Daniel chapter 12 on page 750 in the church Bibles. Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, "How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, "O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?" He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the end, until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and stand in your allotted place at the end of the days." Amen. Well, this is the end of the book of Daniel and the end of the series of Daniel's visions that we have been looking at that comprise the latter half of the book of Daniel. We noted that the first half is fairly straightforward history, a fairly straightforward historical account of Daniel's life and ministry as an exile in Babylon. And the latter half consists of these visions that are given to Daniel to help him and his people, Judah, understand what is coming. And as we come to chapter 12, we come to the final part of the vision which started in chapter 10. You remember this final vision is the most lengthy of these visions, and it began in chapter 10 as we were told of the setting into which this vision came. You remember that Judah had returned to the land, that this great decree had come, not just letting Judah go from their exile, but compelling them to go. As Cyrus sent them back to Jerusalem and provided for them that they might rebuild that city and rebuild that temple. But of course, things were not as straightforward as they might have been, and these rebuilders faced a tremendous amount of opposition from the inhabitants of the land. And to counter their discouragement and despondency, this final vision was given to Daniel. This vision came to Daniel and to the people of Judah through him and reminded them that what they saw and what they felt was not the ultimate reality. There was a whole world, a whole battle going on around themselves, a far greater battle that they could not see. a battle between the devil himself and God, as the devil tried to keep God from keeping his covenant promises. But as God comes to Judah through Daniel, he tells them wonderfully that as great as this battle is, this cosmic battle, as great as it is, they have nothing to fear because he is fighting for them. And that he is the one who lays out history. And so there is no chance that his redemptive purposes could fail. As God came to his discouraged and afflicted people in this final vision, he gave them this wonderful promise that he remained in control. And he was working all of history, even the rise and fall of pagan rulers, as we saw last week, to achieve his purposes and to work for the good of his people. And now in chapter 12, as this vision comes to an end, God brings it to a wonderful conclusion as he reveals to Daniel just how this story will end. And the good news is that this story will end with a resurrection. Chapter 11, you remember that great story of all these kings that would come in the wake of Alexander the Great. Remember that detailed story that we looked at last week that went through all the ups and downs, the ebbs and the flows of Near Eastern history following that day when Alexander the Great would die. And two of his generals would rise to dominate the whole world, as it were. Ptolemy in the north and Seleucid in the south. The king of the north and the king of the south. And God had revealed to Daniel how these two kingdoms would war continually, fighting against each other for dominion. And in between, Judah would be hard-pressed. Small little Judah would find herself compressed. And that story came to a conclusion, came to a climax almost, as God had told them that this would end with the coming of the Antichrist. As God had revealed to Daniel and these Judeans about how history would unfold, he gave a picture of history that would culminate in the rise of one ruler who would outstrip them all in his wickedness. There would be one who would come, and he would set himself above all else. You read it in verse 37 of chapter 11. He shall pay no attention to the gods of his fathers, or to the one beloved by women. He shall not pay attention to any other god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Here, this king, who is pictured as this king of the north, will prevail, and he shall pitch his tents on the glorious holy mountain. That is to say, he will go into Jerusalem, and he will establish himself in the most holy place and demand that he be worshipped as a god. Chapter 11 ended with this picture of an absolute rebellion against God, of an absolute godlessness. This wicked king who would arise and who would severely press the people of God. But in contrast to this rebellion, God promised at the end of that chapter that this king would one day come to an end. That the rise of this godless king, this king that we could understand as Antichrist, even he will come to an end. And God pictured the end of this ruler not coming by an almighty battle, but very simply, almost quietly, we're told right at the end of chapter 11, yet he shall come to his end with none to help him. Sinclair Ferguson, in his commentary on Daniel, said, "It will be as anticlimactic as that." If we may parody T.S. Eliot's The Hollow Men, this is the way the Antichrist ends, not with a bang, but with a whimper. As this narrative about the increasing wickedness comes to an end with this wicked king, it all ends with a quiet but a powerful statement about the power of God, who simply snuffs this ruler out at the appointed time. But the story didn't end there. The vision didn't end there. Remember, the whole purpose of this vision is to give Judah, and to give us, the church for that matter, a proper understanding of what lay in store for them. There was to be no mistake, no surprise when they faced hardship. The whole purpose of this vision is to prepare the people of God so that when the punch of this world strikes them, they will not reel, but they will stand firm, for they know it is coming. When this persecution would come to Judah as they returned to the land, they were to understand that this was not a symbol of God's unfaithfulness, but rather this was the way in which God was refining and purifying His people. And He would glorify Himself in how He brought it all to an end, and it will come to an end, we are told, in chapter 12. Not with a natural victory. The snuffing out of this wicked king will be great and wonderful, but that what we could call a natural victory would not be the end. But it would all come to the end with a supernatural victory, as Daniel is told that this shall all end with a great resurrection. Michael, the great warrior angel, shall arise. And in the confusion and the trouble of those end days, the people of God shall be delivered. It was a word of tremendous hope and a word of tremendous encouragement to Daniel and to Judah. It was a word of completely unanticipated hope, a hope that they could not have imagined if God had not revealed it to them. It gave them a glimpse, just a glimpse, but a glimpse nonetheless, that the land of rest and peace which God had promised to Abraham was going to be far greater than any earthly kingdom. The good news, God tells them, is that He is not just establishing a natural kingdom for His people, but a supernatural one, as He will summon them from their graves. This promise comes with great hope and great encouragement that there is a day coming when all God's people will be finally and fully saved, and not just from those who seek to put them to death, but from death itself. But as wonderful as this promise was to Daniel and to the Old Covenant saints, as wonderful as this hope was, this further revelation of the greatness and the glory of God's salvation and the wonder of the kingdom which He was establishing, as wonderful as all this is to the Old Covenant saints, it bursts with significance to us as we understand it in the New Covenant reality. You see, this is not just some mysterious promise, but to us it is a promise which has, in a sense, been fulfilled in the resurrection of Christ, who died on the cross, but who on the first day of the week, on that first Lord's Day, rose from the grave, securing this promise so that whosoever trusts in him has the guarantee of sharing in that victory. This is not for us a vague promise. This is not some distant hope, but is for us the reality in which we live as Christ rose from the grave and secured the victory over death, put death itself to death, so that we might now say, O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? As God has spoken to Daniel throughout this vision, there was this glimmer of hope for Judah, a foundation of God's sovereignty in which they could build their confidence as they went through the dark valleys of persecution and opposition. But here, unlike ever before, is this final hope, this ultimate hope of the day when God will bring all opposition to an end and finally and fully deliver his people and finally and fully give them life that cannot be taken away. But as wonderful as that promise is, it doesn't end there. And God continues with another promise that not one of them shall be forgotten. He promises that all those whose names are found written in the book shall be saved. And the Apostle John was given his revelation of when all this would come to an end. When the Apostle John was given his revelation into this very same scenario, these very same days, when God brings all of history to an end and brings all his people finally and fully home, he too was given this vision of this book. As he says in Revelation 21, talking of the new Jerusalem, the great heavenly Jerusalem, he says, I saw no temple in that city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. When John sees that new Jerusalem, when he sees these end of days, when God snuffs out that Antichrist, when he puts the devil himself to death and establishes this great resurrection kingdom, John says, Daniel, I too saw a book, and it was a good book. For everyone who entered into that city had their names written in that book of life. This book is incredibly good news for Daniel and for Judah, who were told in chapter 11 that they would enter a time in which they would become virtually insignificant on the world stage, where Judah would not rise to the status of Solomon, where they would not rise to be this great kingdom, but they would remain as a small nation, becoming almost a pawn caught between these two great warring empires pressed on either side. But the word of hope comes to them and assures them they will never get lost. They will never just dissipate into the nations. They will never be lost. God knows who is his. They will not get lost in the fray. This good shepherd has the names of all his people written down in his book, and he will not lose them. And Christians, this is good news for us. as we face the storms of this world, as the world continues to rail against the church, and as God told us in chapter 11, will do so until the end of time. This is good news for us, that while the church might seem so small and feeble, so forgettable, where the church might seem so powerless, as if one despot might be able to just snuff them out or stamp them down, we know that we shall not be forgotten. For our names are written in this book, and we shall not be lost. We are secure because of this book. This book that John tells us in chapter 13 of his Revelation, this book that was written before the foundation of the world. And so we are not just secure, but eternally secure. But as Daniel receives this word of great hope, this great good news that comes to him at the end of this vision, he looks and he sees two others standing with him on the banks of the Tiber. Two other men on each side of the river, and he overhears one of them questioning the giver of this vision and asking him, "How long shall it be before all these things come to pass?" In many ways, it was a gracious question. It was the question that had to be running through Daniel's mind. It is the question that has certainly run through the minds of Christians throughout the ages. That this is good news. But when will it come? This is good news of God's victory. But when will this persecution cease? When will we see this great and final victory of God? When will this great victorious resurrection happen? And so, as it were, anticipating our eagerness to know more, this heavenly servant asks the question we are dying to ask. But the answer he's given is an enigmatic one. No date is given. No time frame is given to him. Just this enigmatic answer, it would be for a time, times, and half a time. Now, like all the numbers that are found in Daniel and all the figures that are found in Daniel, there has been much ink that has been spilt trying to quantify exactly how long a time and times and half a time is. But as with them all, we must not get bogged down in the details and remember the core message of this answer. The primary message is that these persecutions will continue, but suddenly and surely, at just the right time, at the time of God's determining, God will interrupt history's course and bring all things to an end. Things will continue on for the time and times. But suddenly, at this half a time, as it were in the middle of an age, when no one expects it, when things are just continuing on, God will sovereignly interrupt history to show His glory in this final and full salvation of His people. To quote Sinclair Ferguson again, he said, "This conveys a sense of extended periods of time, but it also conveys something of God's sovereign power over all events. By His own power, He is able to cut short apparently inevitable historical developments." So while the history of the world continues on with age after age, time after time, and it seems as if it's just rolling on, as it's always rolled on, suddenly in half a time God will come. At the time of His appointing, He will come and He will bring it all to an end. And He will bring this glorious resurrection. You see, the focus of the people of God should never be on trying to pinpoint exactly when God and His wisdom will bring all these things to pass. And with this answer, Daniel is reminded, and we are reminded, that our concern is to just be on living faithfully now, confident now in the knowledge that God is in control. Confident now that God will achieve all His purposes in His time. Our mind should be filled with the good news that God is in control and He will bring all things to an end at His appointed time. And in the meantime, we are simply to press on and to keep faithful and knowing that these things will simply serve to purify the people of God. This is what God said to Daniel when he asked for further clarification in verse 8. As he turned and he says, I heard, but I didn't understand. And I said, oh my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? As he hears this word of prophecy and he, like us, is not sure what it means. And he comes and he says, well, how should I understand this? What will come? How will this unfold? And he is simply told that the details of this victory and this resurrection are not for him to know. As God had told him in verse 4, so he is told again in verse 9 that these things are sealed. As he is told, go your way, Dan, for the words are shut up and sealed until the end of time. Go your way, then. These things are not for you to know. But he is told, as he has been told throughout his vision, that the hardship that will come upon the church is not a symbol of God's failure to protect or provide for His people, but is the way in which God will purify His people. The wicked acting wickedly will operate unwittingly as the servants of God, as instruments of God to purify and strengthen the faith of His people. And Daniel is told that God has measured it to the very day. However, we understand the numbers in verses 11 and 12. We can be sure of this, that God has numbered it down to the very day. God is in control and He will bring it to pass in His appointed time. As we come to the end of Daniel, and specifically to the end of the prophetic section of Daniel, we have come through some mysterious paths. We have walked through some mysterious numbers. We have passed some strange figures, and we have and are at times intimidated and confused by them. But as we end these visions and as we end this book, we must remember the chief reason, the primary reason that Daniel received these visions, to lead Judah, to lead us into a fuller understanding of how God would protect and care for His people. There are many times when it seems like God is far off. Many times when we, like these returning Judeans, find ourselves confused by our circumstances, and we can begin to wonder if God really is in control. But these visions serve as a great reminder, as a great lesson to us, that our God always remains in control. He sets up kings and He breaks them down. He establishes times, He determines the days of history, and He knows the beginning from the end. And so as we leave this book, let us leave it with a great confidence in our God, and a great confidence in our salvation, knowing that because Jesus rose, and secured our resurrection. We shall rest, and we shall stand in our allotted place at the end of days. Let us pray. Our Father, how we are glad tonight in the knowledge that you are in control, in the knowledge that you are the one who has indeed separated the beginning from the end, who has determined the end of days. Our Lord, we rejoice this evening that history is not just a random series of events, but is providentially controlled by a sovereign God who works all things for the good of his people and for his great glory. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to be heavenly minded, keeping our minds set on that day of Christ's return when we and all your saints shall rise from their graves and be united with you in the new heavens and the new earth, dwelling with you in that new Jerusalem. Father, may we keep our eyes fixed on that and long for that day of Christ's return, praying, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.